And welcome back to another episode of the BisonReport.com radio podcast. I am co-host Ryan Burns, and joining me, as always, to break down and preview your Bison football team is Ross Uglum. Ross, how are you on this Thursday afternoon?
I'm good. I'm getting prepped for some Ryder Cup action this weekend, and obviously at the same time, big weekend at NDSU, homecoming always fun at every university, specifically a big one this weekend. I know that the Philadelphia Eagles are off. Happen to know for a fact that all three Eagles, including North Dakota's native son, Carson Wentz, will be in Fargo for homecoming. So it's a big deal, no question.
Didn't I see on Twitter last night that Carson actually was able to harvest a buck with his bow last night? Did you see that?
Yeah, I did. He made a joke about how do you spend your bye week, and there was a little bit of name dropping there as he, I think, was hunting on land owned by what will be the future governor of North Dakota, Doug Burgum. But it was cool to see for North Dakotans that he still, you know, is the same Bismarck hunting and fishing kid that he always was, and that he still is interested in the same things that he was when he was here at North Dakota State. I think actually bought some land on the East Coast as well so that he could continue his outdoor activities. So like I said, very cool to see Carson sticking close to his Midwestern roots, no question.
We'll get back to Carson a little bit later, but Ross, let's start into it with our news and notes segment. So obviously, Coach Kleiman's press conference was earlier this week. What do you know about that press conference? What are some things our listeners need to know about this Bison team heading into Illinois State this weekend?
Well, interesting note, Marquise Bridges got moved to cornerback. He was a wide receiver, a redshirt freshman, I believe, this year. A Twin Cities kid, went to De La Salle. And, good size for a cornerback, about 5'11", 170. Certainly a good athlete, but a guy that, you know, hadn't quite been able to make the, make the wide receiver rotation at this point. Coaching staff felt they had a need at corner and apparently felt that maybe Marquise's earliest trip to playing time would be via the cornerback position. So that'll be certainly something to follow going forward. Already Marquise listed on the two deep, had been practicing there for, you know, half a dozen practices or 10 days or whatever, but impressive to see him on the two deep. Interesting. I know you and I talked a little bit about Dominic Davis as a guy that was, a threat to not be redshirted a season ago and still hasn't found his way to the two deep. But, the Bison looking for cornerback help, no question about it, flipping Bridges over to the other side. The other big thing that came out of that press conference is the injury to Brock Robbins, the starting fullback, the freshman fullback that played so well against Iowa, I believe has an ankle issue and will be out 6 to 8 weeks dealing with that, so we'll miss most of conference play. Should be available for a playoff run. Other than that, NDSU did not play this weekend, so wasn't a whole lot to, you know, break down. But the outside of Robbins, and then of course Nick DeLuca, whose season is over, I would say that this is a very, just not only from Kleiman, but talking to another source that I have, this is a very, very healthy Bison football team, and they're very pleased that they were able to get through that grueling non-conference schedule with such a healthy team going into conference play.
Let's switch sports here just for a brief moment. I believe you were the one that broke the news earlier this week that 2016 signee Seth Cota is actually not a part of the NDSU basketball program anymore. Obviously, you're the man to go to on this, so what can you tell our listeners?
Well, I don't know much in the way of what happened. I do know, you know, the three things that it wasn't. He did not get in legal trouble. There was no disciplinary action as a team, and this had nothing to do with his academic standing. Just was a situation where I don't think staying at NDSU was going to work out for Seth. You know, wish him the best in his future endeavors. And then, of course, opens up a scholarship for Richmond and his group of recruiters. No doubt about that.
All right, and then before we move on to some recruiting time with Ryan here, I know that you wanted to give a Shaq update. Looks like there were some things done with the season ticket program. Do you want to give people an update there?
Yeah, very cool. The construction process at the Shaq has admittedly been behind schedule. The construction company that was charged with getting this thing done on time is a little bit behind, but they are going to be certainly ready for basketball. There was a desire to have basketball season ticket holders, previous basketball season ticket holders, and other donors that wanted to get season tickets now that the Bison are in their new space. According to Priority, they were going to have them come in and physically hand select their seats. Would have been a very, very cool experience, but construction process did not allow for that experience to take place. NDSU, I felt, very efficiently switched that over to an online process where users were able to hand select their seats. Certainly seemed to be all reports, I guess, that I'm getting are that process was pretty slick and that nobody had any issues with it. People are picking out their homes, seats for the Shaq, and were able to go and kind of pick out their spots at two open houses, one on Sunday and one on Monday. So everybody's getting really excited for basketball's new home. And I think during the homecoming weekend here, you're going to see a lot of alums able to check out that new facility, which isn't, you know, just for basketball, but men's basketball is the sport, of course, that we cover that has something to do with it. So just a little Shaq update. It still looks like a lot of work to be done in there, but they seem very confident about being ready for that first exhibition game. But we will go to the everyone's favorite segment of this particular podcast, which would be Recruiting Time with Ryan Burns. Ryan, what can you tell us about football and men's basketball recruiting?
Well, I know that we talked last week, and it sounded like this weekend for NDSU football is going to be at least a little bit interesting, as there were supposed to be a couple of official visitors coming in. Unfortunately, I have to let the air out of the balloon here that NDSU will not have any official visitors anymore. Jake Springer, a defensive back from Missouri, is still going to come up and visit, but he's going to make it an unofficial visit, meaning that NDSU just can't pay for anything. He's got to come up here on his own dime, and he's going to come up here with his grandmother and his father, I believe, and they're going to come check out things. Jake is a kid that NDSU offered in the summer. He came up on an unofficial visit, I believe, back in August to come check out the campus and everything. So him returning to come back and see everything, especially with limited scholarships at the defensive back position, bodes well for him if he does want to claim a spot. C.J. Caldone is another defensive back that NDSU really likes. Why NDSU pushed back his visit to the first week of November because there weren't going to be any other official visitors with him, and so they're going to push it back to November where he can come in with some of the commits and go from there. And then in terms of other visitors for this weekend's game, I'm assuming that there's going to be a lot of unofficial visitors that are commits. So, you know, I'm sure Ross is going to be able to see Tanner Sunt, Zach Willis. So many guys like that. But the biggest name to note in terms of uncommitted guys right now would be Jake Springer. In terms of what NDSU's Curry for weeks, he was a JUCO product from Oklahoma that had North Dakota State first after his unofficial visit. And unfortunately, he ended up committing elsewhere this past week. So with Seth Cota also leaving the program and NDSU missing out on Reggie Scurry, from what the people I've talked with, I don't really see NDSU signing anyone else here in the fall signing period. That could certainly change in signing any additional members that aren't currently committed, is how I should have phrased that. So Jordan Mettinger is someone that I do anticipate them to sign still here in the early signing period. And then Rocky Cruiser is a name that I wouldn't be surprised to hear, Ross, that while he was going to be on a 5-for-4 in terms of he'd have to walk on his first year, and then he'd be on scholarship going forward, I wouldn't be surprised to hear that Rocky is going to be able to be on scholarship each and every season. But I do anticipate these scholarships being banked and potentially being put towards the spring recruiting, or if not, then we're looking at the 2018 class. So we'll have to see how things go from there. But, Ross, let's kick it back over to you in terms of the Pro Bison update. Obviously, it was a hell of a first month for Carson Wentz. More accolades came on the way for him this week. What do you want to tell us about North Dakota State's favorite son?
Yeah, big week for Carson. NFC Player of the Week up for the FedEx Air, the Air and Ground Player of the Week up for the air side of that, I believe against Trevor Siemian of the Broncos and Aaron Rodgers of the Packers. This is, right now, Pro Football Focus's number one rated quarterback in the entire league that we're talking about here. People have different opinions of Pro Football Focus, but it is film study that's looked over by a number of football experts, so that there's something to it, at least. Something I've used a lot over the years in my writing about professional football. I have a high degree of respect for those guys, so lots of people are taking notice of what's going on with Carson. Certainly appears to be a special player, especially for a guy coming from the FCS that everybody assumed was going to need a little bit of seasoning, maybe should sit out the first year and be ready for 2017. Not only, already ready, but 3-0, just beat a Steelers team that a lot of people picked as a Super Bowl contender, and kind of beat them pretty handily. Impressive stuff, certainly, from Carson Wentz. As I mentioned, he and his Eagles teammates are on a bye and are going to be traveling to Fargo for the homecoming festivities. So I'm sure, the university is not going to not do something during the game. I would anticipate Carson being introduced at some point during the Illinois State game, along with possibly Andrew Bonnet and C.J. Smith. Some other Pro Bison to pay attention to, largely due to injury, but also to effectiveness on their part. Both Kyle Emanuel and Joe Haig were able to get the start, actually played against each other. Haven't had a chance to look at that film to see how often Joe at right tackle was able to block Kyle Emanuel, generally a guy that comes from the weak side of the left side of the offensive line. But big deal for both of those guys, no question about it. The story, though, the big story remains Carson Wentz, no question about it, as far as Pro Bison, not just, from an NDSU perspective, but to be frank, he is one of the most talked about athletes at the NFL level right now, as far as the national media is concerned, which can't hurt the brand that NDSU's created, whether you talk about it from a commercials perspective or from a recruiting perspective, certainly. Let's dive into the Illinois State preview. This is our first podcast of the week. Then it'll be our last podcast of the week. With the bye week, we are just doing a breakdown pod.
Yeah, so Illinois State is very interesting team to look at, because 2 weeks ago, I thought this game was going to be a lot more interesting than it was. They were just coming off a Northwestern victory on the road. But this team has kind of tanked a little bit over the last 2 weeks, Ross. They've lost to Indiana State and Eastern Illinois. For a team that was supposed to be one of the top contenders in the Missouri Valley, this game is not shaping up the way I thought it was going to be. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, big deal, certainly. These teams have actually they've been co-champs in the Missouri Valley the last 2 years on account of the schedule, the Valley being a 10-team league with an 8-game schedule means you miss one team for a home-and-home every year. That team for the last two, or that miss, I guess, has been that miss, I guess, has been fortunate or unfortunate, however you want to look at, both of those teams have gotten the same record at the end of conference play and had to share the Missouri Valley Championship. NDSU, of course, gone on to win both of the national championships. The first national championship of that two-year run was actually in a game against Illinois State. And then last season, a lot of people forget that not just the local Fargo media, but the national media picked Illinois State pretty exclusively to win the national championship. They ended up losing to Richmond in the, I believe, the quarterfinals of the tournament, and that allowed NDSU to once again stay at home for the entire playoff run. But, you know, that was a situation where a favored Illinois State team, if they take care of business against Richmond, the Bison have to go to Illinois and try to win that game to punch their ticket to Frisco, not by any stretch a guarantee. So this was supposed to be a big game, but you're right, some luster has been taken off of it that was put on it when Illinois State was able to beat Northwestern. The Eastern Illinois game, that's maybe not such a red flag, but Indiana State has been the doormat of the Missouri Valley for a number of seasons, and for Illinois State to lose to Indiana State before this game really does, I think, take a little bit of the shine off of what could have been a pretty spectacular matchup here. You're absolutely right. And not only that, it's just confusing.
Yeah, it's certainly a conundrum. And one conundrum that I'd love to dive into a little bit more is, so we'll start when Illinois State is on offense, North Dakota State's on defense. You look at the box score last week, Illinois State had three different quarterbacks play. And so I was asking Josh Tolentino, a beat writer for Illinois State, and you can check out more of what he said on the Bison Report this morning. But I asked him about that, and it turns out Brock's back banned the media and the public from practices last week, for the first time in his 8-year tenure, because their starter, Jake Colby, was dealing with a little bit of an injury. And so come last Saturday, they started true freshman in Tristan Smith. He gets benched. They move to the backup at the time, who is Hassan Muhammad Rogers, and he gets benched, and they end up going back to Jake Colby, and by the time he gets in and starts to get this offense going, it's too late. It's just, there is a lot of uncertainty at the quarterback position. Josh did say that he anticipates Colby to start on Saturday against North Dakota State, but this offense is kind of stalling in place, Ross, so what do you think about what Illinois State is doing at the quarterback position, and what do you anticipate for North Dakota State, knowing that his shoulder's a little bit banged up going into this game?
Well, definitely going to get after it as far as pressure is concerned. Matt Plank in there instead of Nick DeLuca, maybe you blitz a little bit more, just because DeLuca was a guy that you wanted in coverage. But I'm not really sure that North Dakota State is going to need to blitz to bring pressure. Kind of a staple of their defense, certainly this season, to be able to get pressure with four. They're a very impressive team that way. I mean, it's the same story, no matter who the quarterback is, really, with NDSU's defense that it has been for the last few years. You're hoping for a pocket passer. Pocket passers, with the exception of that Brady Gustafson game in Montana, struggle against NDSU. Mobile quarterbacks are really the way to get it done against this Bison defense. And I don't believe that Illinois State, well, they certainly, I mean, obviously don't have an athlete the caliber of Trey Roberson. The way that they ran that offense with Coppridge and Roberson is, I think, a far cry from what NDSU is going to see on Saturday. No question about that.
And let's keep going into the Illinois State offense, Ross. When you look at what they've done against FCS opponents so far, and if you take out that Northwestern victory, they are putting up 33 points a game against their opponents so far, obviously a smaller sample size. But even still, it's 33 points a game, and that's not too shabby. But again, this North Dakota State defense is a whole other animal. So I mean, do you anticipate them to get to that 33-point level, which they have been getting at? Or do you think this is going to be a lower point total against what they've done against someone like Northwestern, where it was in the single digits? I believe it was a 9-7 victory. It's going to be somewhere in between.
Yeah, I think it's going to probably be somewhere in between. I don't think I'm out of my bounds to say that Northwestern and NDSU probably pretty comparable programs at this point from a talent perspective. It's, you know, it's not disrespectful to say that when I think that NDSU has three NFL guys on the defense, specifically in the front seven. That's now two, of course, with DeLuca being gone. But, I mean, I think that when you're talking about an Indiana State or an Eastern Illinois, Eastern Illinois comes from a conference. It's not quite as soft as the Big Sky defensively, but certainly a soft conference on D. And then Indiana State, pretty consistently one of the worst teams, both offensively and defensively, but just for this purpose, defensively, in the conference. I would anticipate something closer to what Northwestern was able to do than what they've been able to do against FCS opponents. I'm not really even convinced that Eastern and Indiana State are that difficult of a task either. That might have been a little bit of lightning in a bottle there, or potentially just a good matchup, that Northwestern victory. That's starting to me to look pretty fluky.
Yeah, it's certainly been an interesting 3-week swing for the Redbirds. So, Ross, what are your keys for this NDSU defense if they are going to stall out Illinois State Redbirds here? I'm talking with Josh again. He thinks that they have to get the running game going, as the last couple of games they've relied far too much on passing the ball. They haven't had enough balance in this offense. But I just don't really see a way that an offense that's struggling to run the ball coming in is going to suddenly find success against a North Dakota State defense, which is going to be at home for homecoming. So, I mean, what do you think are the keys for North Dakota State to make sure that this Illinois State team doesn't get back on track on offense?
Yeah, I think you nailed it right on the head, and that's the running of football. They're going to not probably be able to do that very well. What teams have to do, at least at this point, to beat North Dakota State is spread them out. And if Illinois State can't spread them out, you know, they don't have the talent to run the football, certainly, that an Iowa does. Iowa was unable to do it. They don't have the option scheme to run the ball kind of in fluky ways like Charleston Southern was able to do it. If their path to success is to line up and run the ball in conventional ways against this Bison defense, that's going to be a real problem. And I don't think, you know, people have a tremendous amount of respect for Nick DeLuca. They certainly should. People need to realize that Matt Plank's a fourth-year junior. There have been much, much younger players with much less experience that have been asked to fill big roles in the Bison defense. DeLuca himself was asked to fill a huge role in the Bison defense as a true sophomore. This is a kid been in the program for a long time, understands the playbook, is not going to have communication issues, and I think is a pretty stout run defender. Where I would potentially worry about him, maybe not even worry, but just expect a noticeable drop-off from DeLuca, would be in pass coverage. I think that they're going to switch. I'm not even sure he'll be a part of the sub if they go sub. I think NDSU probably going to play a lot of 4-2. But that's the other thing, you know, besides Plank, is just the pass defense need to continue to improve, need to prove that they can't just be spread out and have the ball thrown all over them, because that's an obvious blueprint to stay competitive with NDSU. That was pretty much proven by some of the wonkier stuff that Charleston Southern did, and then the pretty traditional spread air raid type principles that Eastern Washington used to stay in that game the entire time.
All right, Ross, before we transition to when North Dakota State has the ball on offense, I got to ask you a question. I probably already know the answer to it, but it has to be said. Do you think this is kind of a letdown spot potentially for North Dakota State? Obviously, you're coming off an emotional high. It's one of the biggest programs, or one of the biggest wins in program history, if not the biggest. And you're coming in back for homecoming, and again, this is an Illinois State team that has obviously done well in recent seasons, but this is a team that's reeling right now. Do you think that there's any overconfidence right now, or do you think that NDSU is going to come out ready to play on Saturday?
I'm not convinced that there's overconfidence. The homecoming letdown is a real thing that has happened in the past, specifically to the Bison, but they're not looking ahead to anything. South Dakota State is still, you know, several weeks away. Next week they have their first, I guess, road conference game, but that's against the Missouri State team that they should, you know, pretty much be able to handle. No, I don't see a letdown game. I think, you know, the two things really going in the favor of that not happening. The first would be the two-time co-defending Valley champs. I think they have a statement to make in this game. I think they really want to put Illinois State away if they are down. This is a school with a fan base that has had quite a lot to say over the last 2 years. Certainly had a lot to say after that Trey Roberson touchdown in the national championship game 2 years ago. I don't think these are two programs that particularly like each other. I think that'll probably fend off any type of letdown that might happen. I think, you know, when you talk letdown, the first game that has to come to mind is that South Dakota lost a season ago, and I just don't see something like that happening here. The other thing I would definitely cite in this case would just be the eat crumbs mentality that NDSU has, staying humble, staying hungry. This is a specific stay humble, stay hungry situation. I would be shocked if the coaching staff has not continuously made it a point to make sure that these kids aren't feeling themselves in the way that the national media and the local media are feeling them after the Iowa win. So those would be the two reasons I don't really see a letdown coming here.
All right, so obviously one of the focal points of this NDSU offense is to establish the run and do a lot of it. And when you look at what Illinois State has done through four games, they are 2-2, but then you look at what the stats say, they're only averaging 3 yards a carry against them through four games and only 113 yards on the ground per game. Plus, they've only given up 3 rushing touchdowns in 4 games. So something's going to have to change there. Either Illinois State's rushing output is going to have an outlier game here against North Dakota State, as I anticipate at least 3 rushing touchdowns from your Bison on Saturday. But how do you think this NDSU offensive line is going to meet with this Illinois State front seven that through 4 games has actually looked pretty decent?
I think, you know, a lot of it has to do with who you've played. The run defense against Northwestern was pretty impressive. I know Eastern Illinois is a program that doesn't really even care to try to run the ball. Indiana State, I mean, you and I kind of have the same feelings about their quality of a program. Everything changes when you play the Bison as far as both run defense and offense. What you do against other teams doesn't really apply. We've seen that over the course of the last 8 years, much less this season. I don't really anticipate NDSU having a problem running the ball. Their power pull scheme works so well against 40 fronts, which is exactly what Illinois State plays. They run a very pro-style defense similar to the way that NDSU runs, but they aren't as good at it. I would really be surprised if this fully healthy Bison offensive line with, you know, depth that has been further developed, talking about little Zach Johnson, of course, and Tanner Volson being able to spell the 5 starters, I really don't see NDSU having a problem running the ball. I think they're going to miss a little bit when they miss Brock Robbins. I think that he was a really good player, will continue to be a really good player when he comes back from injury, but their more standard fullback lead stuff is not going to work as well with, you know, Connor Wentz or Chase Morlock in that spot. Not that those are bad players, just players that specialize in other things.
All right, so let's transition to the passing side of things. Illinois State So only giving up 165 yards per game through the air, and they've only given up 5 passing touchdowns on the season. Obviously, I do expect Easton Stick to be able to move the ball through the air. R.J. Erzendowski, I think he'll get the tight ends involved as well. Maybe Darius Shepherd makes another appearance as one of your favorite guys, Ross. So how do you think that this Illinois State secondary should match up with what NDSU wants to do through the air?
Well, I think you're going to see the vertical passing game certainly return. I think that is the identity that Polasek would like. I just don't think he thought that was the best way to beat Iowa. I don't think he thought that testing those guys deep was in NDSU's best interest. I think that their game plan was to muck up that game and just have a ball at the end with a chance to win. And obviously they did. I mean, specifically, that's exactly what happened. But this team, the way that they are put together with the depth at tight end and the thinner receiver group, I think they're a team that's going to want to run the hell out of the ball. And then when they do take, you know, shots, they are vertical, down-the-field shots. If they aren't little tight end release plays like the first play against Iowa to Wentz, I think you're going to see some deep play-action shots in this game. Stick showing off that arm, trying to go down the field, and should be, you know, hopefully successful. I think that they are really looking for that breakout game from Stick. He played well against Eastern Washington. I don't have a lot of nice things to say about that defense. Let's see if he can do it against an Illinois State defense that has been a little bit more, not only historically, but this season, better.
All right, so before we wrap things up here for this preview edition of the BisonReport.com radio podcast, Ross, what are your keys for this North Dakota State offense to get going against this Illinois State team? On the defensive side of the ball, obviously, on paper, this looks like a better matchup for North Dakota State than what they have coming next week. But again, NDSU at home, NDSU in the Fargo Dome, NDSU coming off one of the biggest program wins. I mean, I just really don't see a scenario where this offense doesn't get rolling and they don't get rolling often.
Yeah, it should be a high-scoring game on NDSU's behalf. I think it gets boring to break these down just because they've become so formulaic. They're going to establish the run. They're going to take play-action shots. They're going to get the running backs and tight ends involved in the passing game, maybe more than any team in the country, and they're going to score a lot of points. The offensive line was really the only question, and they were only a question because they struggled just a little bit against Charleston Southern, and they're not a question anymore. Austin Kuhnert's return has really taken care of that. Their performance against Iowa was remarkable, and whether it's running the ball or passing it, this is a team that pretty consistently scores in the 30s and 40s against Illinois State. I don't see that changing for any reason on Saturday.
So what would be your official game prediction here 48 hours out before the North Dakota State versus Illinois State game?
Yeah, I'm going to try to have my prediction or my actual game preview out on Friday instead of Saturday morning. And I think I'm going to be looking somewhere in that 34-20 range. You and I talked in the pre-production meeting a little bit about the line at being at 15.5. If I had a gun to my head, I'd probably take Illinois State, just because I haven't seen NDSU smoke anybody yet this season. Might be a team that just wins close competitive games. Not that 14 points is close and competitive, but at this point I would just be surprised to see the Bison win by 40. That would be something that would definitely raise my eyebrow, no question about it. So I'll pick the Bison by 2 touchdowns, 34-20.
Sounds good to me. That's about where I'm at. I'm thinking it might be a little bit bigger than that, as I'm not entirely sure that Illinois State's in a good place right now on either side of the ball. So I have this game 38-14. So I'm gonna open it up a little bit more. But Ross, any final thoughts here before we wrap things up for today?
Nope, that's it. Go USA.
So as Ross heads down to the Ryder Cup this afternoon and goes and cheers on the US of A, that'll wrap things up here for the BisonReport.com radio podcast. Again, we thank you guys for listening. If you want to read all the goodness that Ross Uglum can put into words, head over to thebisonreport.com. It's only $5 a month, people. We get the latest on recruiting, the latest on the football team and the basketball team. Obviously, as we said, Ross did break the Seth Cota news earlier this week, so he is extremely plugged in. And if you want to be able to get that source first before your friends see it on the Twitter, machine anyway, bisonreport.com would be a great place to do that. So for Ross, for myself, thank you guys for listening. We'll be back next week. Go Bison.